The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Scientific Touch.
Hello?
It's me, Doc. Okay to talk?
Yes, go ahead.
You can relax, Doc. Everything went off on schedule, just like you said.
Watchman?
Tied up in the next room. Safe, Jimmy. Two marked traces left. Cigarette ash on floor. What else, Gus?
You called Arnie Sid and me Charlie.
Oh, yeah. I called Arnie Sid and Gus Charlie.
All right, now you know what to do from here. Wear the footpads all the way out to the car. Make it look as if you left in a hurry. And Vince?
Yeah?
You might take your glove off before you hang up. A palm print will tease the police and add a nice amateurish touch. You know how to smudge it.
I ought to. You made me practice enough.
Oh, that does it, then. You better get started. And if anything should go wrong...
What could? You got us covered for every slip. With you on the payroll, nothing could go wrong, Doc. Not a thing in this world.
In the spring of this year, your FBI was called in on a spectacular series of robberies which baffled the law enforcement agencies of four states. Each robbery was seemingly executed by a trio of amateurs. But when the apparent leads were investigated, they all managed to converge in a dead end. At first, this was accepted as sheer coincidence. But later, when we began to assemble the incredible puzzle, we came across the most unusual criminal career on record.
Hiya, Doc.
Good morning, Gus.
Guess you know why I'm here.
Everything went off all right?
Letter perfect. Here's your envelope, Doc. $5,000 even.
$5,000. I used to make that in just about a year. Thanks, Gus. I'd ask you in, but my wife and I are just having breakfast.
Oh, forget it. This is business, not social. Goodbye, Doc. Vince said he'll call you when he's got the next layout ready.
All right, Gus. Goodbye. There, now, that wasn't so long.
Who was it, dear?
Oh, someone you don't know. Go on, now, read your paper.
Oh, I don't want to read the paper. Did you see this about that robbery? The police feel an arrest is imminent. They'd have made an arrest by now if you were still on the force.
Any hot coffee left?
Wouldn't have to make such foolish statements if they had any sense. Full cop?
Please.
It wasn't that renting agent again?
Huh?
At the door? Now you don't have to keep things from me, Dan. I know how hard it's been for you to make ends meet. In fact, I've been wondering how...
It wasn't the renting agent, Nettie. Now the rent is paid up. Almost all our debts are.
Dan, you found another position.
Nettie...
You finally found one. You didn't even tell me.
No, Nettie, that isn't it.
It isn't?
I wish it was. Believe me, I wish it was.
But then...
Nettie...
Yes?
That's what I've been wanting to talk to you about. I haven't been looking for any other job.
What?
The commissioner didn't let me go for the reason I told you. My age had nothing to do with it.
Dan, what are you saying?
I've been meaning to tell you the truth, but I just haven't had the courage.
What is it, Dan? Tell me.
It's not very pretty.
Tell me.
I was fired, Nettie, for conduct unbecoming a police technician, for gambling away $12,000 in IOUs held by Vince Connors.
What?
I said it wasn't pretty.
Gambling?
That's right. I thought no one knew, but somehow the commissioner found out.
Dan, how could you?
That's what I've been asking myself. How could I? I just wanted more for you, I guess. Better clothes, a house of our own. Who knows how it starts? You bet a little at first, and you win. Before you know it, you enter a shady character like Vince Connors for $12,000.
We can never pay him that kind of money, Dan.
I know we can't. Don't you think I know? But anyhow, we won't have to pay him. He didn't want the money.
He didn't want it?
No. He was willing to tear up the IOUs in exchange for my laboratory knowledge.
Dan.
I'm sorry, Nettie. I wish there'd been some other way out, but there wasn't.
What did he want?
I told you, my lab knowledge. Not only would he tear up the IOUs, but he'd pay me handsomely for services rendered.
What kind of services, Dan?
The kind no one would accept from me anymore. Except a person like Vince Connors. You better pour us both some more coffee, dear. What I have to say is going to be just as repulsive to you as it was to me. But we still have to eat. I wish there'd been some other way out. But there just wasn't.
Back to the scientific touch in just a moment.
What does the code of conduct mean to the American military man? When someone once asked, what makes a fighting man risk his life in combat? Colonel S.L.A. Marshall, an outstanding American military historian, answered the question this way. The soldier will be persuaded largely by the same things which induce him to face life bravely. Friendship, loyalty to responsibility, and knowledge that he is entrusted with the faith and confidence of others. Men who have been in battle know from first-hand experience that when the chips are down, a man fights to help the man next to him. That's what the code means to the American military man.
Of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, The Scientific Touch. With no open lead in the case, we subjected the night watchman to the monotonous task of scrutinizing all photographs in the known criminal files of every law enforcement agency in the robbery areas. And our first break came with his tentative identification of a paroled gambler named Arnie Lenza. But Lenza had an airtight alibi and promptly volunteered to prove his innocence with a lie detector test. The test appeared to do just that, corroborating Lenza's claim of innocence completely.
Or, as they say in detective movies, maybe too completely.
Meaning?
Mr. Stevens, you're familiar with the pathometer, aren't you?
Only in courtroom discussions as to its admissibility, I'm afraid.
I see. Well, throwing aside technical language, this particular machine records a subject's brain-body electrical potentials when stimulated by thalamic cortical conscious apprehension.
Throwing aside technical language.
Well, all right, put it this way. There is a characteristic electrical pattern when the truth is told, as well as one when the subject tells a lie.
I'm with you now.
With a lie, the subject undergoes the emotional reaction that invariably accompanies a fear of being caught stimulus. And this brain electrical change is simultaneously recorded.
The pathometer is the instrument you used to test Lenza?
Yes, and if you will take a look at these graphs, you'll notice one very unusual thing. You see what I mean?
No electrical change.
Exactly.
That's unusual?
Very, under the circumstances.
Wait a minute now. I'm afraid you're losing me again.
Oh?
If no change was recorded, wouldn't that indicate Lenza wasn't lying at all?
It might. Or it might indicate that he merely wasn't undergoing any emotional reaction.
Oh, I see.
In a test of this kind, our questions aren't limited to the crime. We ask certain other questions that should cause emotional reaction in anyone. Back with me again?
That's why the two completely. Lenza answered the questions too well.
Yes, that's about it. The graphs should show electrical change in several instances, but as you see, they show none.
Why?
I don't know. It's the first time I've come up against anything like it.
Well, a man could be... Pardon me. Yes?
Hello, Steve. You asked me to call?
Hold on a minute, will you, Dave?
Sure.
A man could be trained to control his reaction to questions, couldn't he? Trained not to react at all?
Well...
It's possible, isn't it?
It's possible, yes, but such a thing would require a great deal of practice, and then you'd have to have an expert around to handle it.
Someone like yourself?
Well, anyway, someone qualified to anticipate the newest equipment.
Dave?
Yes, Steve?
Look, I want you to do something for me right away. Check each of those PDs. Have personnel give us a report on all laboratory technicians, past and present, over the last 10 years.
What's up, Steve?
I'll tell you when you get the reports.
All lab technicians over the last 10 years.
Right, Dave, thanks.
And meanwhile, what about Arnie Lenza?
Officially or unofficially?
Officially.
Meanwhile, we'll have to let him go. Officially, Lanza told the truth, didn't he? You can't hold a man for that.
And you should have seen that lab character's face when he looked over the graphs. That was the only time all day I had trouble controlling myself.
Gus, in back of the door. Arnie.
Okay. Yeah? Who is it?
Me, Doc.
Okay, open it. Hello, Doc. I never expected to see you over here. Gus, rustle up a drink for the doc.
No drink, thanks. Vince, I've got to talk to you.
Sure, don't I know it? The boys and me just finished drawing this payroll layout for you to look over. Pull up a chair. Arnie's got us in stitches over his lie test. Well, you hear?
I got to hand it to you, Doc. All those hours of drilling, but they were sure worth it. You'll never hear a beef out of me again.
That's right, I won't. And I'll never look over another layout either. That's what I come to talk about.
Huh?
I'm ending our relationship, Vince. I'm through.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Doc. Let's not go off the deep end.
No, I'm not.
Oh, sure you are. Sit down and calm yourself. Hey, boys, how do you like that for brains? Doc's not satisfied with his cut, and he dreams up this act to put on the squeeze.
This isn't any act, Vince. I've gone over the whole thing with my wife, and she's made me see daylight.
Oh, you went over it with your wife?
Huh? Yes. It was crazy getting tied up with you in the first place, all right. I was desperate, I admit it. I'm even grateful to you for the help. But it had to end sometime before it was too late. Nettie and I are leaving town, so this is goodbye.
You're leaving?
Yes, maybe with a fresh start.
On my money?
Well...
On the money you got from me when you didn't have what to eat.
Vince, I said I was grateful. I am. But I think I've done my part in paying you back.
You think wrong, Doc. Leaving town wouldn't be a very bright move. I advise against it.
I'm sorry.
Doc, hold it, Gus. I'll take care of this.
Now, it's no use, Vince. I've made up my mind.
Doc, you're wrong. Dead wrong.
I don't think so.
You haven't done your part paying me back, not even a little. I've taken a real fancy to doing things scientific-like, and I'm not going back to doing them any different.
Vince, I know how you feel.
You don't know. You don't begin to know how I feel. So now I'm telling you. I feel you're not leaving town. You're staying, and Gus and Arnie will be watching every move to see that you do. Now, here's your copy of the layout. Take it home and look it over. Phone me on the angles. Go on, take it.
I said I was ending our relationship, Vince. I meant it.
Uh-huh. Arnie?
You heard what he said? Take it! What's more, Vince?
No, I think that's enough. Doc catches quick. He didn't know how I feel, now he knows. Right, Doc?
To the director, Washington Confidential. Examination of personnel records, police laboratory technicians reveals two possibilities, one promising. Inquiry shows Bay City technician fired from department last year in gambling connection with ex-convict Vince Connors. Seen in company robbery suspect Arnie Lenza. Agent Reynolds checking technician's home circumstances. Will advise. Sign it, Stevens.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Daniels. You've been very helpful.
You're welcome, Mr. Reynolds. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry my husband wasn't here, but he should be back by tomorrow. You can talk to him then.
That'll be fine. Oh, it's just a matter of routine. Nothing to worry him about. Mrs. Daniels?
Goodbye, Mr. Reynolds. I'll tell my husband he may hear from you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye.
All right.
He's gone?
Dan, he said...
I heard. Just a matter of routine. Nothing to worry me about. What's the matter?
Maybe it would be better. Dan, maybe it would be better if...
If what?
If you spoke to the man. If you told the FBI the truth.
What?
You can't go on like this, Dan. Those men will never let you go. You know that now. Maybe this is the best way out.
No, Nettie, I couldn't. I couldn't do that. Don't say such a thing.
Darling.
I just couldn't, Nettie.
All right.
If I spoke to him, if I told them the truth... What would happen to me and to you, Nettie? I couldn't stand it if you...
All right, Dan. You don't have to.
Nettie, I'm sorry. I never should have done this to you. I should have realized...
Oh, don't, darling, don't.
I'm sorry. Going to the FBI isn't the best way out, Nettie. I think I've got a better one.
Dan.
I got myself into this mess. I should at least be smart enough to get myself out. Now, I've been working on something ever since I left Vince Connors. I didn't want to show you until I was sure.
Show me what?
This. Now, this photostat. I made it up myself.
Photostat?
It's a copy of a confession, Nettie. A complete confession revealing every detail of the robberies and all the names. Gus, Arnie, Vince Connors. It also includes my name and what I did.
But if you send that to the police...
I'm not sending it anywhere. I'm going to show Vince the original when I see him. Now, I want you to put this copy in our vault box at the bank.
Our vault box?
I do it myself, but Vince warned me they'd be watching me.
Dan, you don't think that he'll...
I do, Nettie. With a photostatic copy secure in our vault, I think Vince will have to let me go. Now, will you take it to the bank, dear?
Of course, Dan. Of course I will. But I'm not sure...
Nettie, nothing's ever sure. But if anything should ever happen to me, Vince will know what'll happen to him. He said he likes things scientific-like. Well, maybe this will oblige him.
Back to the scientific touch in just a moment. Friends, this is Jimmy Wallington. You know, many great men have attained the highest office in our land, the presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? He was born in New York in 1800, the son of a farmer. He studied law, was admitted to the bar, and began to practice in New York State. Later, he became a member of the House of Representatives and served for 27 years in one public office or another. In 1848, he was elected vice president and became president on the death of Zachary Taylor. During his administration, many important events took place. The Missouri Compromise was signed. Commodore Perry made his historic expedition to Japan. Daniel Webster was his Secretary of State. You should have his name by now, but in case you don't, here's one more important clue. Although he was originally the candidate of the Whig Party, he ran for re-election under the standards of what was known as the National American Party and was defeated. Yes, he was Millard Fillmore, 13th President of the United States. His life is part of your American heritage. Act three of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, The Scientific Touch.
Walk the rest of the way.
Right.
Give me 5 minutes with him, then bring her along. And Arnie.
Yes, it's...
Keep her quiet. If she gives you any trouble, stop it. You know what I mean?
She won't give me no trouble.
Okay, 5 minutes. Then bring her along.
Yes, who is it?
Me, Vince. Who are you expecting, Davy Crockett? Well, sir, close the door and pour me your two fingers.
What are you doing here, Vince?
What does it look like I'm doing? I come over to see what new angles you've got for the payroll job. Your wife in?
No, she isn't.
Good. Women in business don't mix right with me. Well, what have you got for me, Doc?
No angles, Vince.
No? I thought we had that kind of talk all tucked away.
You thought wrong.
You haven't looked over the layout.
No, I haven't. And I don't intend to.
Changed your mind, that it?
That's it.
How come?
I wanted time to figure some way to force your hand.
Uh-huh. And you figured it.
I did. That's why Nettie isn't here.
The wife again. She's in this, too.
Both of us. We're ending relations whether you like it or not.
What makes you think so, Doc?
I'll show you.
Don't bother. I'll show you.
Huh?
I'll show you. This is what makes you think so, isn't it? Well?
Vince?
Uh-huh.
Where did you get that? Where did you get it?
Where else, Doc? The wife's purse.
Nettie?
Yes, sir, that's where. Gus and Arnie, you know how polite they are with the ladies, offered the missus a lift and come up with a surprise photostat. How do you like that, huh?
Vince, if either of them...
Say that they'll be here with her in a minute, and you can tell them direct.
He'll be here?
Uh-huh.
Gus and Arnie followed her.
Play it safe, I always say.
I should have known not to send her.
You should have known a lot of things, Doc, a smart guy like you. You should have known not to force my hand with a photostat to the cops.
She wasn't going to the cops.
Come again?
No, she wasn't. She was only...
Oh, Doc, Doc. Nice try, only it won't work.
No, it's the truth.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It is, Vince.
Stow it.
But
I said stow it! You're a corpse, Doc. Also, you're a fool. You had a warning from me. You acted up and you had a warning. Didn't I warn you? Didn't I? So now you're a corpse. The both of you, as soon as Gus brings her in that door.
No.
And it'll be scientific, Doc, real scientific. I learned just how to do it from you. An accident, maybe, or suicide. Go answer it, Doc.
You're crazy. You
were all her loving ones in. Go open the door.
But Vince, she had nothing to do with us. Leave Nettie out.
Doc.
Listen to me now.
Go open the door, Doc. Go open it or I'll let you have it right now.
Vince.
You heard me. Open it.
My name's Reynolds, Doc. I'm an agent of the FBI.
Oh, thank God you came back. There's a dangerous criminal inside with a gun.
We know all about it, Doc. Huh? We know all about it. Now take it easy. Your wife's safe.
What?
She's safe, Doc. Take it easy. Stand over there out of range.
Vince Connors! Vince Connors!
Yeah, what do you want?
We're federal officers, Connors. Come on out of there with your hands up.
The house is covered front and back, Connors. Come on out. You're having a chance.
Oh, yeah?
Chief. Vince Connors.
All right. All right. I'm hurt. Don't shoot. I'm coming out.
The defense, offered in behalf of Doc Daniels, attempted to plead temporary insanity brought on by the damaging loss of his job. But Daniels himself chose to be a forthright witness, convincing a jury that he was sane and fully aware of the nature of his acts. Vince Connors and his confederates received prison terms of 15 years each. But in consideration of his age and cooperation with the prosecution, Daniel's sentence was reduced by the presiding judge to 5 years. Our files are closed on The Scientific Touch.
Tonight's story, Bill Smith played the part of Doc Daniels, Harold Huber was Vince Connors. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.